Everyone loves getting value. And what we teach is to extract maximum value from two of the most hated industries in the world, credit cards and airlines.
Welcome to Teach Me Something New. I'm your host, Britt Morin, and this is a production of iHeartRadio and Brit & Co. All my life, everyone's told me I should focus on being good at one thing. But the truth is, I'm curious about a lot of things. But how do you learn about everything? The answer? Make the world's best experts teach you in less than an hour. So come along with me as we all learn something new. Hey everyone, did you know it's Financial Literacy Month? That's right, and I know the mention of money can make some feel a little squirmish, as it can bring up so many emotions and feelings of stress. But today, I wanted to bring in a finance pro to tell us how we can actually change our outlook on money and use tools like credit cards to our advantage. Because if there's money being left on the table, I want to empower you to go out there and get it. So without further ado, let me welcome Brian Kelly to the show. Brian is the founder and CEO of The Points Guy and is the expert in loyalty programs, credit cards, and knows how to rack up those points even while you're traveling or just shopping. Hey, Brian, thanks for being here.
Hey, thanks for having me. Yeah, it's kind of counterintuitive to think that maximizing credit cards can actually save you money, but if you play the game right, there are huge rewards.
I have to tell you, I've actually probably been following your work for, I don't know how many years. I mean, I feel like it was just a blog at one point, right?
Yep. It started off in 2010. I just decided I was working at Morgan Stanley and, you know, I've just always been a points guy. I mean, it goes back to the 90s. My dad was a consultant and I just, when I was 12, I figured out how to use his points and we've taken amazing trips, you know, every year since. So I was just always blown away that people didn't know how to use their points. So I started the blog just for fun as like this side, you know, side thing, a creative outlet, but then it like quickly exploded in a good way.
Yeah. Oh my God. I mean, I remember looking back, I think I found the first article I found was something about using my airline miles for points and like also like hacks to get more airline miles. And I remember I was in college in like the early 2000s. And I was trying to like buy someone's airline miles and move them into my account. And on Craigslist back in the day, I don't know if this is still a thing, you could do that. So like for $300, I bought 25,000 miles. I like accrued them into my account, but then I redeemed them for a trip that would have cost me like $600 round trip, but I used 25,000 miles for it. And so I've been like fascinated by all of these points hacks and things for so long. So anyways.
Yeah, no. And that
I'm
basically what
here.
You did was arbitrage, right? You bought one currency that you were able to redeem for a larger one. And that still exists today. And in fact, airlines and hotels, they're selling points now at such a ratio where it makes sense sometimes to buy frequent flyer miles directly from the airline, especially when they have like 100% bonus and then redeem
this.
Yeah, especially if you're redeeming for first class or international business class, like fares that are $10,000, but you can buy the different currencies and redeem them for higher. But the easiest way is just like the credit cards and getting huge sign-up bonuses.
Yeah, I'm fascinated by the credit cards thing because I really haven't done the arbitrage there, but I've definitely done it with airline miles. And I know what you're talking about. And actually, here's the thing about that little Craigslist airline points purchase. I was in college. I had just met this guy named Dave, but he lived in California. I lived in Texas, and he really wanted to see me. So I didn't tell anybody, including my parents. Parents, I hope you're not listening. But I purchased those miles so that I could redeem them to secretly fly to California to go on the first date with this guy, Dave, who's now my husband. So, you know, this all has now come full circle. My points arbitrage has led me to love Brian, and I really want to thank you for that.
There is no better redemption of points and miles than for love. So this story brings me so much joy.
Okay, great. I mean, if you want to like capture this on your site, you know, a little photo of us, a little like flashback to early 2000s, I'm happy to work with you on that.
Just kidding.
That is a reader success story if I've ever heard
exactly.
one.
Exactly. Thank you. Okay. So you mentioned that you got into this when you were 12. So I want to know, what was little Brian like? Like, how did you become so fascinated with money, finance, cards, points, all the things?
Well, I was, I've always been like a voracious reader. So my mind and imagination would always go to whatever book I was reading at the time. And I think when I was 12, I had read The Firm by John Grisham. And I just remember they went to the Cayman Islands. It was this beautiful, bright blue place and really luxurious. And so when my dad said to me, Brian, you know, I was really savvy. I was like I was the 8-year-old in 1991 who asked for Prodigy Internet as my Christmas gift. And I figured out how to plug in the modem and connect online. So I was always like the computer whiz in the house. And I loved to read and I had a big imagination. So when my dad came to me in 1995 and said, hey, look, I've got all these frequent flyer miles. You know, we're going to go to Orlando unless you can figure something else out. So that's when I went into motion. I called up US Airways and I realized like we could go to the Caribbean in January, our family of six, for free. So, and it was cheaper than going to Disney World or, you know, I grew up outside of Philadelphia and most people went to the Jersey Shore. So that's how it was. And I realized that by being nice to the phone agents and they were very helpful, like we were able to plan amazing trips every year, which kind of made up for the fact that my dad, who was a healthcare consultant and traveled so much, we looked forward to every year, well, we got to go on these amazing vacations to make up for his time on the road. So that was like the beginning of my points, education, and that, but never in a million years did I think that it would become my career.
For sure. And, you know, I have to say, I think points gets a bad rap because I think it insinuates that you're like frugal or you're not willing to pay. But how would you answer that question? Like, is it just about being smart with your money or is it about being frugal?
I mean, I'm not a frugal person. You know, I will redeem points to fly first class and then I go hardcore when it comes to restaurants, experiences, et cetera. And that's what I've taught, you know, our millions of readers. Yeah, some of them are on a budget and backpack and want to stay at a hostel, but still fly first class home from their trip. You know, not everyone flies first class. We have tons of family travelers who, you know, their way of taking a vacation, especially during these tough economic times, has been to maximize points. So it's not just, there's no one label. I can tell you, we have tons of celebrities. I have spoken with a number of billionaires who follow the points guy. Everyone loves getting value. And what we teach is to extract maximum value from two of the most hated industries in the world, credit cards and airlines. And when you can figure out how to make them work for you, you know, using your points to pay for trips or your fancy meals out or getting exclusive access to concerts by like leveraging the perks, like that's winning at the game. And what I would say to people too is like these frequent flyer programs are what makes the airlines profitable. This is how they've survived this worst pandemic, you know, to ever hit the travel industry. They've also sold billions of dollars worth of points to credit card companies to stay afloat. So this is by no means just airlines handing out scraps to their best travelers. More frequent flyer miles are issued by credit cards than they are by actually flying. So, you know, by being a savvy consumer, you can sit in the middle of all this, you know, as long as you're getting points from your credit card and paying it off in full, so you're avoiding interest, and then you're getting them for free for flying anyway, you can absolutely win at this game.
Okay, and I want to actually pause there on credit cards because I think this is a fascinating topic. And I like your idea that like maybe there's like some vindictiveness in humans about wanting to extract value out of the credit card since they've extracted a lot of value out of us at many points in our lives. So first of all, like how can we better understand credit and what it's used for?
So the first thing I'll say is, especially for people who live in the U.S., our credit system is insanely lucrative. So there's no other country in the world where you can get hundreds of thousands of points just from sign-up bonuses. You know, we have it really good where it's 5x on airfare, 5x on dining, 4x on groceries. You know, you can earn a ton of points, not just by getting a sign-up bonus, but by leveraging your spend and putting your different spend on the right credit cards. you know, the reason that exists is because, you know, merchants, whenever you go out to your restaurant or to buy something, they're paying the credit card anywhere from 2 to 3% of your transaction to run that charge. And basically what the credit card companies do is they kick back a portion of that to you in the form of points or cash back. So if you're listening right now and you pay for things in cash or with a debit card, you are financing me to go to fly first class. So just let that sink in, because the cost of these points, you're going to pay the same amount at 99% of places using cash or a debit card than I will using my points card. So the cost of that transaction to fund my rewards is built into the price of products in the US. Mm. So by using cash and debit cards, you are essentially financing the points for all of us. So even, you know, and I do recommend, firstly, with the credit cards, the only way to win is if you pay them off in full every month. If you're going to be hit with interest charges, they will eviscerate the value of any points that you get.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and look, if you're in debt and hate credit cards, do not get a card just for points if you're going to get in debt, because you will not come out ahead. But, you know, if you can pay your bill in full every month, you might as well put it on a points earning credit card, get those points, and then, you know, you don't get hit with any interest fees. So that's the ecosystem in the US. And the lucky thing is it's so lucrative for the credit card companies. You know, there are at least 10 major credit card companies that offer different types of rewards cards. And if you play your cards right, like, you can get sign-up bonuses from all of them, pretty much. You know, there's some nuances now, but I mean, I have 25 credit cards. My credit score is
25? That's insane. How do
and I don't.
What does your wallet look like? What do you have, to like super mega XL wallet?
I've got the George Costanza wallet that like throws my back out when I sit down. Now, I only carry a couple of them with me, because most of my transactions, a lot of the credit cards I use for perks, you know, when flying an airline or for certain purchases. And a lot of, you know, and another key tip is if you have a small business, and it can be an eBay business, it can be very small, you can get business credit cards. And the business credit cards are even more lucrative in many cases than personal. So I have the points guy from when I started. I've got a bunch of other side businesses that I have opened credit cards in for bonuses. So that's really, and actually I earn most of my points. You know, at the points guy, we spend quite a bit of money on Facebook advertising, Instagram, Google, SEM. All of that goes on my personal credit cards, which rake in up to 3x, you know, on those online advertising. So we run all those, you know, I pay them off instantly through our accounts payable department. And then that's how we get millions of points to send all of our writers around the world. Because we don't take freebies from the airlines. We purchase all of our
reviews. Wait, hold on. So you send your writers points instead of like cash?
Yeah, well, so no. We pay our writers in points, but whenever. Like, so
are you compensating people with a new currency?
No, but you know, we're not far off from that. What I'm saying is, like, if Emirates has their new first class cabin and it's flying JFK to Dubai, that's what I flew this right after New Year's. You know, we'll transfer 135,000 points to Emirates and then book a first class award for our employee who's going to review that airline. Because we don't want to alert the airline ahead of time that we're flying, because then it's not going to be a real experience.
Are all the airlines like becking and calling you? Like, they're just like bowing down because they know you're going to review them?
Yes. So I don't really do reviews anymore, because I'm pretty much flagged by all the airlines and hotels. And
that's amazing. What you get, like, the ultimate red carpet service.
Usually, but you know, the airline industry does follow, like, on my personal Instagram, which is Brian Kelly. That's like all of my personal travels. The points guy, if you follow on Instagram, is our corporate account, which is all of our different writers. So both have different, you know, my viewpoint is, because I pay for all my own travel, it's like I cover the good and the bad. Like, I hate following influencers where everything is just like rosy and perfect and luxurious and so picture perfect. Like, no, I'm going to show you that disgusting turkey sandwich and it's cellophane, because that's, I'm not going to try to make it beautiful, like, but
yeah, airline.
And I think
snacks.
Even, you know, I'm friends with a lot of people in the airline industry. They love the fact that, even though they hate it sometimes when I don't show them in the best light, but it does, my goal of all of this is to, you know, push the industry to be better, and also just to inspire people to travel too. And, you know, so travel comes with the good and the bad. You can't just be one-sided.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Okay, so I don't even know where to start. I have so many questions based off a bunch of stuff you just said. Let's start with the 25 credit cards because I'm still fascinated by that. Are there favorites? If we could choose like 3 to 5, let's say, and that was a lot for us, which 3 to 5 like should we choose, or does it differ for everybody?
So there are myths out there that every credit card you get, your score goes down. There's a little bit of truth to that in that anytime you get a hard inquiry for a new credit line, your score will likely drop 2 to 5 points temporarily. But the largest, and you can go on the FICO website, I encourage people to learn about how FICO scores work and credit, but you basically, the key factors of your credit are your debt to credit utilization. And that means the more credit you have available to you and the less you use, your score goes up. The second is just making payments on time. And those two alone are over half your FICO score. So when you actually have more credit available to you and you're using less of it and you're paying it off in full every month, you'll see your score go up. That's why so many people who don't have credit cards and have very minimal credit, their score is actually worse. So in general, the more credit cards you have, the less you're using and you're paying them on time, your score will go up. Yes.
But what about paying the minimum off versus paying in full?
Pay in full. The minimum, you'll get hit with like 18% interest on your balance. And the value of the points you're getting, generally 1, 2, 3 cents, you know, you're getting like 3% back blended if you're lucky. So if you're paying 18% to get a point, you know, if you're paying 18 cents to get a point worth 3 cents, that's a losing battle. So, But that being said, if you're in a tough month, absolutely just pay your minimum balance and, you know, work to get the larger balance down. Missing a payment is a huge no-no and will drag your score down tremendously. And if it does happen, catch it right away and call your credit card company. They'll often waive the first one and take it off your score. But you need to be vigilant about your score and be checking it into making sure you're not getting dinged. If you're really bad about this stuff, just set up auto pay.
Yeah.
You know,
auto pay is the
best. You've got to track it. But in general,
and how long does it last too? Because I actually just checked my credit score and it's very good, except for there is one thing from 2012 when one of my car payments, I guess, didn't go through, but it was because I had switched credit cards and like, I didn't know that happened. And that it was 2012 and it's still impacting my credit score. What do I do?
You can file a dispute. All the major credit bureaus have disputes. You can just, you know, explain the situation. You can call that lender and just beg for mercy. In general, what I recommend is be nice, whether that's airlines or credit card companies. You would be shocked at how much people, these people get berated day in and day out. But if you actually call in and say, hey, look, like, this is what's going on. It was total misunderstanding. I know you've got a lot going on. Can you please help me? Like, I'll do whatever it takes, you know, instead of you better do this to me, because that's what they're getting all day long.
Yeah.
You know,
especially if like your flight's
Exactly. How dare you? There's a tornado outside. I mean, it still boggles my mind.
Why are you taking off? Yeah.
Idiotic. But it's bright and sunny here.
Yeah. So something from 2012, I can go back and dispute?
Absolutely. I don't know exactly what the charge is or how it's sitting on your report, but absolutely call and ask them to take it off. You know, fax in to all the major bureaus. There's a lot of websites. If you just Google like disputing an item on your credit report, there's lots of tips on how to like paper them. And like, if they don't respond via your paper forms, you can.
Yeah. And this is important your credit score is really important, right? Like
it's an asset. Absolutely. Your credit score will determine whether you can get a certain kind of apartment, what your mortgage rate is. And that singular decision on what your mortgage rate is could be thousands of dollars. So I urge everyone listening, think of your credit score as an asset. And I think so many of us, myself included, look, if you've made mistakes in the past, I was stupid in college. I got credit cards. I maxed them out. When I moved, I thought, you know, that Verizon bill wouldn't follow me. And it's funny now that I'm like the king of credit cards and helping people get them. And I myself had messed up. But I think it just goes to show you can, with diligence, you can improve your score. And there's just key fundamentals. And it's pay off your balances. You know, don't, as much as I'm all about, like, take the trip. But if you're in debt, like, you really need to have a plan to get out of debt because it is quicksand. So if you are in debt and have high balances, instead of getting rewards cards like I'll talk about shortly, you may want to get a zero balance transfer APR and just focus on getting your balance. You know, instead of trying to open up other credit cards to get points, focus on getting your balances down. Mm-hmm. It'll be the best, you know, even though it's short-term pain and financial, you know, not buying all the things you want to buy, but just get debt free. And then from that point, you know, your opportunities will.
Yeah, you've got to like get to zero instead of negative 10, and then you can get to positive 10. Wait, so how many people are in credit card debt? Do you know these stats?
You know, actually, over the last year, credit card debt has dropped dramatically because people haven't been traveling, haven't been buying fancy clothes. So there have been some heartening statistics that people, especially with stimulus checks, have paid their balances down. But in general, the average consumer is still, the average American is not saving for retirement like they should. And that's why, like, even if you are in debt, you can still play the points game so that instead of paying for that plane ticket, use that cash to pay off your debt. Mm. So it's not like if you're in debt, I'm not shaming anyone saying you can't do points and miles. That's not true. But the point is, have your strategy to get your, you know, balances down first and foremost before you just focus on traveling all the time, which is a vicious cycle. Then you'll just continuously be in debt.
Yeah, for sure. So let's go back to all the credit cards that are out there. Do you have favorites? Are there some with better perks and rewards than others?
So here's the thing. 2021 is smoking hot for credit card deals.
2021.
So I have to say, it's tough for me to explain all the different deals because they change. But basically, the goal of credit cards is to earn more than 1 mile or point per dollar spent. A lot of credit cards will offer, you know, triple on dining, but 1x on everything else. So the goal is look at what you spend your money on and then align the credit cards that will give you the maximum amount of miles back for that category. So my base level card is Capital One Venture because I'm earning 2x on everything. So anywhere I am, if I'm going to the Apple store, there's no credit card that's going to give you 5x points at the Apple store. Yeah. Now, there's online shopping portals.
Except for the Apple card.
Yeah. Actually, it's funny. The Apple card doesn't even give you an extra bonus on Apple products.
But it's so pretty.
Yeah. Actually, it's one of the cards I don't have because I just don't see a huge need for it. But
interesting.
But anyway, so Capital One Venture, I think one of the most shining cards out of the pandemic because everyone's been ordering food and getting groceries is the Amex Gold, which gives 4x points on restaurants, including takeout and delivery, Uber X, and also 4x on US supermarkets. So, and that card currently you can get a rose gold version and up to 60,000 points when you spend. But also the number one beginner card, I would say, and right now it's got the highest sign-up bonus we've ever seen in April of 2021, when the offer is in the marketplace, 80,000 points, and you earn 2x points on travel and dining on that card. The cool thing about travel is it's all airlines, hotels, travel agents, parking, tolls, subway. It's a really broad travel category.
Wait, which card is this?
This is Chase Sapphire Preferred. I would say Chase the Chase Sapphire Preferred is like, the Chase, there's the Preferred, and then there's the Reserve card, which is $450. That card gets you lounge access.
Oh, that's like the fancy points. Version. Yeah, like yes, the Amex.
But for like beginners, especially with the Sapphire Preferred being, you know, $95 a year, 80,000 point sign up bonus, it's such a no brainer. I would say that's like a great intro card. Get your Chase Sapphire Preferred, and then, you know, I match it with the Capital One Venture card, which is 2x on all spend. So you're, you know, put your travel and dining on the Sapphire Preferred, and then the rest on the Venture card. But there's so many other ones out there. These are just like the top kind of no-brainer ones that most intro people in the points game end up getting.
Okay, so what you're saying is, if I'm hearing you right, figure out how you're spending your money, specifically your credit card money, and look for the card that gives you the most bang for your buck in terms of points for those categories. So with its dining, it's one thing. If it's shopping, if it's travel, what about Amazon? Is there one that gives you like 5x points back on Amazon? Because that would be the one I need.
Yes. Yeah, so interestingly, yeah, the there is a Chase Amazon card, which is very rich for Amazon rewards. And you can also use your Chase and Amex points on Amazon purchases, albeit not at the best ratio. But yeah, the Chase Amazon card for Amazon purchases is a pretty solid option.
Oh, I'm going to do that. I use this app. Have you heard of it? It's called Copilot. It's kind of under the radar, but it's my favorite personal finance app. It literally like uses AI and all these machine learning things to start categorizing all your spend and gives you like real-time views of your budget versus spend. And like, especially as a business owner, I think it's really well done for like my personal P&L. But you know, it's great because I've done my year in review, my month in review, my quarter in review, and like, yeah, I mean, it's a great way to see which categories you're spending your money on the most and historically how that has played out. And sadly, it is Amazon, you know, as someone who just like kids. Stuff all the time. I don't know. It's crazy. Yeah.
And what I'd recommend to anyone listening, like if you Google the best credit card for Amazon spend, our post comes up number one. You know, the best credit card for redoing your home. But what I would recommend is whatever you spend your money in, whether it's, you know, shipping for your business or online marketing or groceries, like Google that. And we have a post on pretty much every category you could think of: airfare, hotels, etc. So we're all about, you know, the next phase of the points guy. We've been blog. We're now a media company with 100 employees covering the travel space. And the next step is technology company and leveraging technology to help consumers get the most value from their cards and then also leverage that for the most value in travel. We actually just acquired Lonely Planet. So stay tuned for some exciting things to come on that front.
Also, just like what a cool business journey, by the way. I mean, I work in venture capital, but also have a digital media tech company as well that started kind of blog-ish and moved the way up. So I feel like I see you on so many levels, and how cool that it's been 11 years now, I think, for you running this company, acquiring Lonely Planet. Like, it's just cool. So I want to pause and give you some cred because that's amazing.
Thank you. You know, it's been like a whirlwind. I started the blog June of 2010. I started monetizing it 1 year later, like in a big way, and then sold it to a publicly traded company in May of 2012. So that period of my life was such a whirlwind. I had no idea that I could create this blog that would become such an asset. I sold it to a company called Bankrate, which owns creditcards.com and a bunch of other. And then, you know, once I was, you know, we're acquired by a publicly traded company, most founders leave to do the next thing. But I'm like, my work here isn't done. We're growing. And I really, 11 years in, I still feel like we've just starting.
Well, speaking of business, you were talking about how business credit cards can be very lucrative. And I didn't realize this either until I hired my first CFO many years ago. And she was like, "Britt, why aren't you putting more on a credit card? We could be actually giving bonuses to our employees in the form of like gift cards, you know, actual like a television." There's so many things we could redeem our credit card points for that then become perks to our employees, and we don't have to use our actual cash, you know, to give out bonuses. And I was like, this is genius. I was like, mind blown. And so we started doing that all the time. But, you know, can you tell us a little bit more about the perks of business credit cards and why we should be using them too? Because I know there's even a new credit card through H&R Block. They acquired a company called Wave that for small business owners, you can actually use this credit card and it will understand all of your business taxes and like sort out all of your taxes for you. So you save on like accounting costs and all kinds of things. So I'm just fascinated by this world of credit cards and how we can be leveraging it.
Yeah, I mean, so first and foremost, business credit cards and giving your employees to spend on your business credit cards so that you earn the points, also streamlines, you know, payroll expense management. I know there's companies like Trip Actions now that is it for startups and pretty big businesses now that I think this is fascinating, where you can actually give your employees corporate cards. And, you know, with this day and age of travel, you can set different rules of your expenses for different employees. Like if they have to quarantine on arrival, maybe you're going to extend the hotel rate or, you know, it basically, and it also helps you track all your employees around the world. Where are they end against a COVID tracker, which is something that like, but there's a lot of different reasons to be smart about your business spend, but you're right. It can improve your business's bottom line by accruing all those points. And then you don't pay taxes on those points. And then you can give them to employees, you know, as gifts and improve morale. And plus a lot of business credit cards, if you get them for your employees, come with great perks while they're traveling. So it definitely, there's a lot of different reasons to have your employees use corporate cards and business cards, but and the points can add up significantly. And even just using those points for corporate travel, which adds up very quickly.
And what about credit card use in general? And this could be for business or personal. Like, what is healthy credit card use and what is unhealthy use?
Well, I mean, I think healthy credit card use is just, you know, in addition to earning points, you also get a lot of perks. You know, example being, I bought a Moncler jacket, went to Iceland and we were filming vlogs and I was switching coats and left my brand new Moncler coat, which was $2,500 in Iceland. And I was so annoyed with myself because I had it for a week, but I called up Amex and I put it on my Amex Platinum. Oh, Mr. Kelly, no worries, taken off your account. And that's not because I'm the points guy. That's like they have purchase protection and they go above and beyond, especially over, you know, this past year. I actually was supposed to go to Puerto Rico last minute, had to cancel, even though my hotel was non-refundable. But Chase, I'm a Chase Sapphire Reserve cardholder, made an exception and gave me all my points back. I would have lost $1,000. So I think in general, it's smart to put expenses on credit cards. A lot of them, you know, a lot of credit cards will even have broken screen coverage on your new iPhone.
Whoa, I need coverage. That one.
Yes. And once again, it's like you can Google the best.
What about iPhones that fall in the pool or toilet?
Yeah, you know, it depends. Every coverage policy is a little different.
I don't know. But, I mean, just in case that were ever to happen, you know.
Yeah, just in case. Yeah.
Slash, my four-year-old likes to throw things in toilets.
You know, when the iPhones first came out, they were like, oh, they're waterproof. So I went like snorkeling in the Maldives. And let me just tell they're not as waterproof as they make
waterproof.
Them out today.
Oh, no. Did you get that protected through your credit card?
I did, actually. I forget how I did it, but I have an assistant who's brilliant and knows how to like get anything done. But you know, whether it's sunglasses, you know, they fall off your face on a boat, like you can get reimbursed for that and people are always amazed. So
I want to get reimbursed for my one lost earring. Yeah, because I always have the one lost earring. You don't have this problem probably, I'm guessing, but yeah, with earrings are the worst, dude. You've got to like keep them together at all times.
But I feel like that's a new style now where you can have like one bedazzled earring and then one regular one.
You're so trendy, Brian. Good job knowing the trends. What's been your most regrettable money mistake that our listeners might be able to learn from?
It for sure was not paying attention to that Verizon bill when I was moving around college and I put my head in the sand. And actually in general, you know, I was a moron with credit. Like in college, I got an MBNA, University of Pittsburgh credit card because they basically just were handing them out and got into debt, went on spring break, didn't think about the fact that I had no income as a college kid. Then my parents were like, we're not bailing you out. We're going to make you get a student loan to cover it. Well, you know, it was a big mess and it took years and years to get it out, to get it under control. And it could have been so much easier if I would have just paid attention. So I think my biggest money mistake was having my head in the sand and just thinking things will go away because they don't. And hustling and just educating yourself now, there are more resources than ever to get yourself out of debt, you know, there's the whole FIRE movement, there's, you know, budgeting apps to really give you insight. Because I think most people just don't know how much they're spending and they don't see a pathway. And then they just keep making the same mistakes and it's rinse and repeat. So I think I'd just like to say to people, though, you know, you can turn it around and there are ways to, you know, it's not a lost cause. Right. Even with the bankruptcy, or even if you're new to this country with credit, there's actually an amazing company called Nova Credit, where it's like an international credit score where you can actually get an Amex card if you have a good credit score in like one of 25 countries, which is a service I think a lot of my friends who are immigrants with good salaries and good credit in their home country. So there are certainly ways that you can, you know, help improve your score. There's resources, but you've got to do the hard work yourself.
Okay, so I want to shift gears into your other area of expertise, which is travel. After a year of not much travel, I know I'm already starting to book travel this year. And by the way, I'm finding amazing rates. So what do you envision travel will look like for the remainder of 2021 and our post-vaccinated world?
Well, I took 100 days off from travel last March, which was nice. I was traveling way too much and it made me realize how much I missed it. But I've been traveling quite a bit since last summer. That being said, it's like, I understand why people don't travel. I'm not saying that everyone should, but myself, I had COVID last March, asymptomatic. I had antibodies. I knew, you know, in general that I was pretty safe and always wore a mask, et cetera. But now that the vaccines are out, I mean, more and more people are traveling. We're now at about half of the amount of airline passengers as pre-pandemic. Mm. It's pretty wild considering there's almost no international travel. So, you know, domestic routes now, Hawaii, you can fly, lie flat, international planes, Alaska is huge this summer, you know, Mexico. So basically, there's a lot of options to travel. I think this year will be still very much this summer, road trip, RV, outdoors, beach. I do think Europe will open. I'm currently booked to go to Greece in July, and I think that will happen. Yeah. I'm also planning, Celine Dion is like my spirit animal.
And this is a big revelation of the podcast. Oh, yeah. So mine too.
Oh, I've met her. So she has a song called Taking Chances. And when I started the Points Guy in 2010, everyone was like, Brian, you can't leave Morgan Stanley. You're about to get VP. You cannot. And I just knew deep down, I was like, I built a brand. Like I remember I had gone to a cocktail party and someone was like, you're the Points Guy. And of course, there were no one really reading my blog and I knew I was onto something, but everyone in my life was like, okay, can't be a travel blogger. And I was listening to Celine Dion's song, Taking Chances. I was walking to work. I literally had an out of body experience and went straight into my boss's office and quit that day. And luckily,
Celine, have you been to Vegas? Did you see her live? You told her that story.
I'm a full blown Celine group.
It's all coming back to me now, I have to say.
I just got chills as you said those words. I saw her March 5th at the Barclays Center right before everything shut down. And her next concert's in Israel in June. So I feel like for me personally to like bookend this pandemic, it's like,
wow.
I saw her as the pandemic started, even though the pandemic didn't keep going for a long time. But like, some parts of Europe will open this summer. I think the UK will still be pretty locked down. Maybe France, maybe
Canada,
Italy.
But Canada? It's so close to us, but they have no vaccine.
You know, Canada's like, their vaccine rollout's horrific. It's terrible. The EU and Canada have been really bad with this rollout. And I think, you know, Greece has kind of, they're taking this approach of let's just vaccinate the islands, which is where most of the tourism is. I think Italy probably will open up, but these new variants and these new spikes are really concerning.
But don't you think now is a great time to book your travel before the airline, costs 100%. Go skyrocket high, the hotels. I was looking at going back to Texas to see my family. There's like 30% off all of the hotels right now. The flights, like I said, $250 round trip. Yeah. So for me and my whole family, like that's going to be an amazingly affordable trip compared to what it would be typically. So I'm just going to book out all my travel this year. Is that your advice?
Yes, in general, you know, all the airlines now have free changes for the most part. Got to be a little careful. Some tickets aren't eligible, but, hotel, book the hotel now and then make sure it's refundable and then rebook it if it drops in price. And if it goes up in price, you're locked. But just remember what the cancellation date is in case you do have to cancel. But what I will say is use your frequent flyer miles and points. So many people are up to their gills because we've all been earning this past year, but people haven't been using. If you've got boatloads of points, the reason why it's better to use points now than cash is that if you need to cancel, the airlines aren't going to give you your cash back unless they cancel the flight. So what you're looking at is vouchers, which may be useful, might not be. You can't use vouchers to pay your rent or mortgage. With your frequent flyer miles, all the airlines, for the most part, now allow you to cancel and get all your miles back free of charge and your taxes and fees. So by using miles, you're essentially buying fully refundable tickets, which you're going to be out almost no cash. And if you need to cancel, you get them all back.
Okay, I like that. Okay, I can do that math. And then do you have favorite airlines? We talked about your favorite credit cards, but do you have favorite airlines?
You know, I love, you know, domestically JetBlue. So I'm 6'7". I need legroom. You know, even in economy, JetBlue
Mint is the best, by the way.
And Mint is awesome. Ugh. They just came out with their new Mint planes, which are gorgeous. And I just think JetBlue flight attendants are really nice. And in general, I have a good experience. Internationally, I love Emirates. Emirates is like the golden age of flying, especially in first class. Emirates first class is just
you have fabulous. Like a cabin, like an actual cabin. They call it that, right?
Your own floor to ceiling windows and their new 777 game changer suite. It's literally floor to ceiling windows, and you can even video conference to the galley with the flight attendants. Oh, I want some Dom and caviar.
Video conference.
They'll come up and then just slick stick it through like a window and slide it down. So like if you want no interaction, and it's
okay. And plus, I've never done that. And I've only seen it on like the Sex and the City 2 movie, I think, when they go to Dubai.
Yeah, well, you don't even need to go to Dubai. So Emirates is now flying. I'm flying them in July to Greece, Newark, Athens. And they also fly JFK to Milan. So even if you have a Europe trip, you can try them out to those destinations.
All right, Brian, this has been so interesting on so many levels. If you could recommend one piece of homework for our listeners this week, what would it be?
So, I mean, I would just say go to thepointsguide.com. We have a guide section and we have a beginner's guide. And if this sounds also confusing, we will literally take you step by step. It's free. Sign up for programs, track your points. And we didn't even get into it, but there's a lot of other ways to earn miles and points. Shopping online, you should be getting tons of miles just by shopping at any retailer. So here's a tip. Never go directly to a retailer's website. Always click through a shopping portal, because what it does, it puts a cookie on your computer and you'll automatically get extra points deposited into your loyalty account simply by clicking the one button, putting in your loyalty number, whether it's AdvantageEShopping.com, which is American Airlines site, but it can be up to 30 miles per dollar in addition to what you get for using your credit card. So all of these concepts are spelled out in detail at the Points Guy. And then come June, when our app comes out, make sure you download the TPG app.
And, you know, if you ever need the Points Girl or the Points Gal, I'm here. I got you.
Love it. And just for everyone listening, we've got about 100 employees. We actually have more women working at the Points Guy than we do men. We have a whole TPG women's Facebook group. We have TPG small business. And then our general Facebook group is just called the TPG Lounge. And that's where our 100,000 active followers help each other with tips and tricks and things like that. So there is a ton of resources to get you up to speed in this game.
Thank you so much, Brian. This has been a pleasure. You can follow him. He is at Brian Kelly or at the Points Guy. And go out there and spend some points, you guys. Hack the airlines and the credit cards. You have every right to do so. I appreciate it, Brian. And for everyone out there, we will see you next time. Bye.
Thank you so much. Safe travels, everyone.
Thanks for listening to Teach Me Something New, a production of iHeartRadio and Brit & Co. I'm your host, Brit Morin. Find more information about each episode at Brit.co/listen. You can also find me on social media. I'm at Brit, or follow us at Brit and Co. Teach Me Something New is executive produced by Ali Ives and Ali Perry, with additional production and sound design by Mark Lemmerjazy and Aaron Peterson.